afternoon. Welcome to our Bible study. We're going to be in the book of Judges still. We're going to be in, favorite book. Till we get to Ruth. And she'll be our favorite. Yeah, we're going to be in chapters 7 and 8. I'll let you guys get there. We'll open in prayer. I'm going to keep on reading about Gideon. Seven and eight. Let's open in prayer. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for being able to gather in your name this afternoon on this beautiful day that you have made, Lord. We thank you for that. And we ask you, Lord, that you would open our hearts and our minds as we go through these two chapters. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So we went through chapter six, and chapter 6, 7, and 8 are all about this man, Gideon, mostly about him. Chapter 6, last Thursday, we read about Gideon. God was developing his faith in him, right, as he chose him to battle against the Midianites. And now in chapter 7, God's going to test this man, Gideon. He's going to test his faith. And then in chapter 8, unfortunately, are about the failures of faith, right? Because Gideon doesn't do so well in the very end. Some of you already read this chapter. He starts out doing all right, and he does really well. He places faith in God, and then in the end doesn't fare so well, right? So let's go ahead. We're going to pick up in verse 1 here. Pick up verse 1, and I'm going to read down to verse 8. Verse 8, it says, then Zerubbabel, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose early and encamped beside the well of Herod. So the camp of the Midianites was on the north side of them by the hill of Moriah, in the valley. In verse 2, it says, and the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me. Well, you see that, right? You don't want these people to steal his glory. It says, my own hand has saved me. And say, they would say that. Now, therefore, proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead. And 22,000 of people returned. 10,000 remained. Okay, so you see right here, 32,000. 22 of the men say, hey, we can get out of this. We're out of here. So they took off, left 10,000. It says, verse 4, but the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. There it will be that of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, the same shall go with you, and whomever I say to you, this one shall not go with you, the same shall not go. Verse 5, it says, so he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps from the water with his tongue as a dog laps, you shall set apart by himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink, and the number of those who lap, putting their hand on their mouth, was 300 men. But all the rest of the people got down on their knees to drink water. Then the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men who lapped, I will save you. Notice, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. I'm going to do the work. Let all the people go. Let all the other people go, every man to his place. Verse 8, so the people took provisions and their trumpets in their hands, and he sent away the rest of Israel, every man to his tent, and he retained those 300 men. Now the camp of Midian was below him in the valley. So let's stop here for a minute. So we know, as we're going to keep on reading, there was 135,000 Midianites, okay? And there was 32,000 Israelites. When we started this, when they started this, right? Not good odds. That's 4-1, right? 4 against 1 man. Right? Then God tells Gideon, he says, you know what? We're going to chop it right down to 300 men. He wants to take it right out of them so they don't think it's them. Okay? Because God doesn't share his glory with anybody. He wants them to know that we're going to take it down to 300. Right? Why? So Gideon and those 300 men would have to place their faith and trust in God to win a battle. Okay? This is exactly what he does. And he doesn't want, right? And God doesn't want Gideon to get a big head, pride, that he won the battle. So he shrinks his army on him. 300 men. Going to take him on all these 135,000 Midianites, right? God will not share his glory with anyone, right? That's in Isaiah 42, right? God will not share his glory with anyone. God wants all the glory, and he's going to take the credit for everything he does, right? He's very clear about that in the scriptures. So Gideon, he took his fighting men, and it says, and he camped south of the Midianite army, which was camped in the valley of Jezreel, right? When they arrived, God told Gideon, again, you have too many men. God wanted to reduce the number of Israelites so they wouldn't foolishly believe that they won the battle by their own strength, right? This is why God brought them right down. God wanted it to be undeniable that it was his power that gave them victory, right? Gideon was told to allow all the men who were scared, as we just read, to head home. God said, you got any out of the 32,000 men here, if any of them are too afraid to go to war, send them home, right? And 22,000 of them took off, right? 22,000 cowards said, we're out of here. We're heading back home. Let us know how it goes, right? Which reduced them to 10,000 men, right? Next, God tells Gideon, right, take the army to the water. This is interesting. Take them to the water to get a drink, right? And based on the way each man drank the water, which is very interesting, he was able to be separated into one of the two of the groups, right? If a man kneeled and drank water directly from the water, he was to put in one group. So think of it like this. These men come down to the water, and all the men that came down to the water got on their knees and lapped the water like a dog. Keep in mind, we're in enemy territory. Okay, so these men had no care that they were in enemy territory. So they get all down, they lap the water. But 300 of them get down on their knees and take the water as they're looking, right? Because they know they're in enemy's territory. God said, these 300 men, they're ready for war. That's who I'm going to use. Send the others back. They're in enemy territory, and they got their head face down, lapping the water like a dog, not seeing the enemy. These 300 men were like this, taking the water and looking around. God said, I'm going to take those three guys with me, those 300 men. So it's pretty interesting how he does that, right? So this is where we go, and Gideon is left with these 300 men. Gideon's faith gets tested, right? You ever hear that saying, a faith that cannot be tested is a faith that cannot be trusted, okay? So he's testing this man's faith, right? Gideon, you got to remember, Gideon started this out. This is very interesting. Gideon started this out, this conversation with God, at 4-1 odds. He knows the Midianites, there's 135,000 of them. He's got 32,000, so he's at 4-1 odds. 4 men against 1 man, right? Bad odds, right? Then God breaks it down, right, to 10,000. 10,000 men. So now we're talking 13-1 odds. Then he brings Gideon down and his men down to 300 men, and now we've got 450-1 odds of winning this war. God brings it right down. 450, piece of cake. Yeah, piece of cake. 400. He brings us down to 450 men against 1 man, right? Those odds. He's bringing it right down. He's letting them know, you ain't going to win this battle without me. And I want you to know that. So let's continue on. We'll pick up in verse 9. Verse 9, it says, and it happened on the same night that the Lord said to him, Gideon, arise, go against the camp, go down against the camp, for I have delivered them into your hand. He reminds him again, I'm going to do the work, Gideon. Just have faith in me. Verse 10, it says, but if you are afraid, God gives him another out right here. Look at this. But if you are afraid to go down to the camp with Porah, your servant, and you shall hear what they, the Midianites, say, and afterward your hands shall be strengthened to go down against the camp. So he tells them, we're going to go down there. You can go down to their camp and listen to what they're talking about. It says, then he went down with Porah, he brought his servant with him, to the outpost of the armed men who were in the camp, the Midianites, right? Now the Midianites and the Amalekites, all the people of the east were lying in the valley, this, as numerous as locusts, 135,000 of them, and their camels were without number, as the sand by the seashore in multitude. So Gideon must have been looking at this like, wow, how are we going to do to take care of these people, right? And it says, verse 13, and when Gideon had come, there was a man telling a dream to his companion. He said, I have had a dream. To my surprise, a loaf of barley bread, which was a poor man's bread, they were poor, tumbled into the camp of Midian. It came to a tent and struck it so that it fell and overturned, and the tent collapsed. A little prophecy. Verse 14 says, then his companion answered and said, this is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. So they're listening to this. Into the hand God had delivered Midian and the whole camp. And so it was when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation that he worshipped. So he knew, oh, this is prophecy, God's going to do it. He returned to the camp of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of Midian into your hand. So let's stop there for a minute. So God reassures Gideon with the Midianites' dream, this prophecy. Remember, God sent him down and says, go down there. I know you don't have a lot of courage. You're still kind of having doubt that I'm going to do this for you. Go down to their tent. Listen to them talk. And the guy, Midianites, says, I had a dream. And Israel basically conquered us, and he heard it. Oh, okay, a little prophecy here. So he has confidence. So God gives him a little more reassurance, you know, as Gideon's going to do this. He reassures Gideon he would overcome the entire Midianite force with this small group of 300 men. Okay, so God is preparing Gideon. He had to show him another sign, right? Remember he did that last time. Gideon wanted all these signs, you know, with the fleece. God knows this guy still needs some more signs. He's still not all in with the faith and the trust. So he does this. He says, go down to the camp. And it said, right, God told Gideon, if he still doubts, he could sneak him into the Midian camp at night, and he would be fine. He'd get the strength that he needed after he heard this dream that this Midianite had. It says right here, it says the man, the Midianite, it says, I had a dream, to my surprise, a loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian. It came to the tent and struck it. So it fell and overturned, and the tent collapsed. A little prophecy of what was going to happen, what God was going to do to the Midianites, right? Gideon hears it. Oh, okay, I like this dream, right? And then his companion answered and said, this is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. He said, into his hand, God has delivered Midian in the whole camp. All right, so let's pick up in verse 16. It says, then he divided the 300 men, okay, in three companies. So now God splits them right up, right? Gideon says, okay, we're going to split them up into 300. And he put a trumpet into every man's hand with empty pitchers and torches inside the pitchers. And he said to them, look at me and do likewise. Watch, and when I come to the edge of the camp, you shall do as I do. When I blow the trumpet, I and all who are with me, then you will also blow the trumpet on every side of the whole camp and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and 100 men went with him, came to the outpost of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch. This at night, as they were changing guard, the Midianites. Just as they had posted the watch, and they blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers that were in their hands. Then the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers. This is interesting, right? Get their attention. And they held their torches in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands, blowing. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And every man stood in his place all around the camp, and the whole army ran and cried out and fled. Verse 22. When the 300 blew the trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against his companion throughout the whole camp. So you see what God did, right? He stirred up all the Midianites to fight each other. Right? So now I've got this all stupor going on. Right? And the army fled to Beth Acacia, to Zarah, as far as the border of Abel, Malala, by Tabath. And the men of Israel gathered together from Naphtali, Asher, and all of Manasseh, and pursued the Midianites. So all this was going on, right? They got these other tribes together, and they pursued the Midianites. They could tell they were in a stupor, fighting each other. Then Gideon sent messengers throughout all the mountains of Ephraim, saying, come down against the Midianites and seize from them the watering places as far as Beth Barah and the Jordan. Then all the men of Ephraim gathered together and seized the watering places as far as Beth Barah and the Jordan. Verse 25. And they captured two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeb. They killed Oreb at the rock of Oreb, and Zeb they killed at the winepress of Zeb. They pursued Midian and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon on the other side of the Jordan. So that ends the chapter. But let's talk about this for a minute. So Israel defeats the Midianites. God did, right? And as soon as Gideon heard the dream, as we went over, and the interpretation, he worshipped God. It says, as we read, he returned to the army. He rallied the troops. Right? He divided them into three groups, gave each man a trumpet, right, and a torch, and he had them spread alongside the outskirts of the camp of the Midianites to do battle, right? I mean, it must look a little silly, 300 men, 135,000 men over there, but they were ready. They had the torch, they're ready to go, God's with them, God's going to give us victory. And it said simultaneously, the 300 soldiers revealed their torches, blew the trumpets, just like they did in Jericho. Right? Remember God said, you just blow the trumpets, I'll handle the rest. It's the same thing here. Right? He's telling all you guys set up these pictures, your torches and all that. You just blow the trumpets, I'll handle the rest. And God puts a spirit of stupor in them. And they start just killing off each other. You know? Not one man of the 300 was even injured. Right? Not one of them mentioned of being killed or even wounded. So the Midianites, right? And their allies panicked. They ran, it says, right? God caused them to become confused. And he started fighting with one another. And Gideon's men pursued them and sent messages to the men of Ephraim, who were up in the mountains, to come help. And it says that they captured the two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeb. Yeah. And that brings us to chapter 8. Yeah, go ahead. They killed the two princes of the Midianites. Yeah, they were two like kings, princes type thing, who were in charge of those Midianites. So they went and captured them and killed them off. Yeah, they were wicked. wicked people. Oreb and Zeb. All right, let's go right into chapter 8. Gideon subdues the Midianites. Just carrying on the story. Verse 1, it says, "Now the men of Ephraim said to him, Gideon, 'Why have you done this to us by not calling us when you went to fight with the Midianites?' And they reprimanded him sharply." So we said, you see what they're saying, right? "Oh, how come you didn't call us down to do this?" They wanted some of the glory themselves. Ephraim was like that, which we're going to find out. Now that the war's over, here they are. Right? "Oh, yeah, hey, you should have called us. We could have helped you. You know? Yeah, sure. Where were you?" Verse 2. "So he said to them, 'What have I done now in comparison with you? Is it not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? God has delivered it into your hands, the prince of Midian, Oreb, and Zeb. And what was I able to do in comparison with you?'" So Gideon here saying, "Yeah, you guys are all set. You know, you guys are powerful. We, you know, you guys are doing your own thing here. We just figured we'd take them out. Try to play nice." Then the anger toward him subsided when he said that. When Gideon came to the Jordan, he and the 300 men who were with him crossed over, exhausted, but still in pursuit. So they're still running around. Then he said to the men of Succoth, "Please give me loaves of bread to the people who follow me, for they are exhausted. And I am pursuing Zeba and Zalmunna, kings of Midian." And the leaders of Succoth said, "Are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna now in your hand, that we should give bread to your army?" You see what they're saying here, right? He said, "Oh, you mean to tell me the war's over? I'll give you some bread. But if you haven't captured them yet, I ain't giving you nothing. Because I don't know whose side I'm going to take." You see how these people are, right? They want to say, "Hey, if they're going to kill you, I'm on their side. You kill them, I'm with you." See what's going on here, right? That's why he asks, "Hey, did you kill them? If so, I'll give you some bread. If not, no." So Gideon said, he didn't like this too much, "For this cause, when the Lord has delivered Zeba and Zalmunna into my hand, then I will tear your flesh with the thorns of the wilderness of the briars." So Gideon gives it right back to him. Fine, you won't be like that. Verse 8, "Then he went up from there to Peniel and spoke to them in the same way. And the men of Peniel answered him as the men of Succoth answered." Same thing. This town, these people, they were like, "Hey, did you win the war? If you did, we'll give you some bread. But if you didn't, we're going to stay put, because we don't know, you know, we don't want them killing us. We've got a couple coward towns here. They want to take a side." Verse 9 says, "So he spoke to the men of Peniel, saying, 'When I come back,'" this is what Gideon said, "'in peace, I will tear down this tower.' Now Zeba and Zalmunna were at Kakor, and their armies with them, about 15,000. Okay, so let's stop here for a minute. So they killed 120,000, okay, of these Midianites, or God did, right? But there's still 15,000 at large. Okay, that's where you get the 135,000 Midianites. There's still 15,000 alive. "All who were left of all the army of the people of the east, for 125,000 men who drew the sword had fallen." Right, so 125,000 fell. "And Gideon went up by the road of those who dwell in the tents of the east of Nobah and Jogbah, and he attacked the army while the camp felt secure." So he waited till they were all felt secure. Verse 12, it says, "When Zeba and Zalmunna fled, he pursued them, and he took the two kings of Midian, Zeba and Zalmunna, and routed the whole army." Verse 13, "Then Gideon, the son of Joash, returned from battle, from the ascent of hares, and he caught a young man of the men of Succoth and interrogated him. And he wrote down for him the leaders of Succoth and its elders, 77 men. Then he came to the men of Succoth, saying, so he's going back there to show them, here are Zeb and Zalmunna, about whom you ridiculed me, saying, are the hands of Zeb and Zalmunna now in your hand? And we should give bread to you weary men. So he brought them back, just like he said. He says, now, see, I told you I'd do this. Verse 16, and he took the elders of the city and thorns of the wilderness and briars. With them he taught the men of Succoth. Then he tore down the tower of Peniel and killed the men of the city. And he said to Zeba and Zalmunna, what kind of men were they whom you killed at Tabor? So they answered, as you are. So are they. Each one resembled the son of a king. Then he said, they were my brothers, the sons of my mother. As the Lord lives, if you had let them live, I would not kill you. And he said to Jether, his firstborn, rise and kill them. But the youth would not draw his sword. For he was afraid because he was still a youth. So Zeba and Zalmunna said, rise yourself and kill us. For as a man is, so is his strength. So Gideon arose and killed them, Zeba and Zalmunna, and took their crescent ornaments that were on their camels' necks. So let's stop here for a minute. Gideon captures the kings of Midian. The other ones he captured were princes. Okay, they were princes like the mayors. And after being routed by the Gideon's 300 men, right, in Judges 7, these kings fled. These Midian kings fled south. Gideon's men, as we read, they pursued them all the way to the other side of the Jordan River. And when they were exhausted from the chase, okay, Gideon asked the men of Succoth for some food. They were still chasing these people all the way to the Jordan River, so they would have been tired. You know, God was taking care of the victory. They still would have been very exhausted, as we read, right? But the people of Succoth, as we read, they wouldn't give them anything because they were afraid that Midian would win and come after them. So Gideon was furious, and he told the men of Succoth, I will tear your flesh with the thorns of the wilderness. He went back and did, right? The same thing happened to Gideon when he asked the men of Peniel for food. They did the same thing. We're not giving you any food because we don't know what side we're going to pick, right? We're on the side of whoever wins. That's these people. That's how they work, right? Whether wicked or not. Hey, if the wicked win, we're on their side. We don't want to die. That's how these people were in these two cities. And Gideon promised. He said, I will return. He told Peniel, the city, he said, I will return. I'm going to tear down your tower when we're done this. He went back and did exactly what he said. Right? He went back to both these places, Succoth and Peniel. Got revenge on both of them for refusing them to help his men. They wouldn't give him any food. All right. Let's pick up in verse 22. Gideon's ephod. Here's the downfall. This is where Gideon starts to slide from the rest of this chapter. Right? Like I said in chapter 6, God was building up his faith. Right? Chapter 7, he's starting to have faith in the Lord. He's ready. And now comes his downfall right here. This man's downfall. Failures. Faith failures. Right here. But it says, verse 22, it says, then the men of Israel said to Gideon, rule over us, both you and your sons, and your grandsons also. For you have delivered us from the hand of Midian. Oh, giving Gideon all the glory. That's a no-no. Verse 23, but Gideon said to them, I will not rule over you, nor shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you. So he's still good here. Then Gideon said, I would like to make a request, though, that each of you would give me some earrings from the plunder. They had golden earrings because they were Ishmaelites. They were really into the Egyptian jewelry and all that stuff. So they had a ton of jewelry. So he's like, well, you guys can do something for me. Give me a little glory here. Verse 25. So they answered, we will gladly give them. And they spread out a garment, and each man threw into it the earrings from the plunder. This would have been a lot. Now the weight of the gold earrings that he requested was about 1,700 shekels of gold. Well, Gideon's got to be done up pretty good, right? Beside the crescent ornaments, the pendants, the purple robes, which were the kings of Midian. Excuse me. Sounds like Midian here wants to look like one of the kings of the enemies, right? Give me those purple robes. They look pretty snazzy. It says, and besides the chains that were around the camel's necks, bring those to me too. Bring all this stuff to me. I look like a king, right? 27, then Gideon made it into an ephod and set it up in the city, Ophrah. And all Israel played the harlot with it there. It became a snare to Gideon and to his house. Verse 28, thus Midian was subdued before the children of Israel, so that they lifted up their hands no more. And the country was quiet for 40 years in the days of Gideon. We'll just stop here for a minute. Unfortunately, pride settled into Gideon. He says, oh no, you don't have to make me king, but I sure would like to look like one. Why don't you bring me all that stuff from all those Ishmaelites and Midianites, and I can build a big ephod, which could have been a statue of himself, right? And they began to worship the ephod, and it became a problem for Gideon and his family, right? So what it says, right, he made an ephod from gold and set it up in his home city. So now we got this. They're kind of making a false god here in the city. Gideon wanted the respect. So let's read on here. Verse 29 to the end. It says, then Zerubbabel, that's Gideon, the son of Joash, went and dwelt in his own house. Gideon had 70 sons who were of his own offspring, who had many wives. And his concubine, who was in Shechem, also bore him a son, whose name he called Abimelech. Now Gideon, the son of Joash, died at a good old age and was buried in the tomb of Joash, his father, in Ophrah of the Abizrites. Verse 33, so it was as soon as Gideon was dead that the children of Israel again, here we go, played the harlot. The Baals, the false gods, and made Baal-berith their god. Thus the children of Israel did not remember the Lord, their God, who had delivered them from the hand of all the enemies on every side. Verse 35, nor did they show kindness to the house of Zerubbabel, that's Gideon, in accordance with the gold, the good he had done for Israel. So, as we read these three chapters, we read one last Thursday and this week, Gideon started out. This is what I want you to take away from this. Gideon started out when God came to him and says, hey, I want to pick you to do something for me. And we read that Gideon was very humble. He said, I'm nothing. Why would you pick me? Right? Like Moses, right? Why would you pick a man like me, Lord? I'm from the smallest tribe. I'm like the smallest guy in the tribe. Why would you pick me, Lord? Very humble, okay? And he ends this, I am somebody, right? Collect all the gold for me. You can do this for me. Gather up the gold. Get these things over here. Let's build an ephod. Right? He did it in a prideful way. Here's a man started out humble. God raised him up, does great mighty things in him, and he becomes prideful. And in the end, he's like, hey, I'm somebody. So he went from, I'm nobody, to, oh, I'm somebody. We're going to build an ephod. Awful. Awful, right? And it says that Gideon married, right? Gideon married many women, right? He had 70 sons. And I can't even handle three. I got my hands full with three of them. Yeah, it's 70. Right? He had 69 with his own, right? His own from his own people. And it says that he had one other son that we're going to read about, Jotham, next week. He had with a prostitute from Shechem, the Canaanites, these wicked people. He drifted off over the end, up getting himself a harlot, got pregnant, and there comes Jotham. That's not his name. Abimelech. Jotham is the good one. He comes from his own. So he has this. He has this little fling here with this Canaanite woman from Shechem, who had Abimelech, who we're going to read about next week. Who this was a wicked man. And Abimelech means my father is a king. Isn't that interesting? He named him that. He named his son my father. Abimelech means my father, Gideon. He's a king. So again, goes from a very humble man to a very prideful man in the end, right? Awful. It does say that he died at a good old age, so he's probably pretty old, right? As soon as he died, the Israelites went back and they started worshiping the idols again, right? It's just the theme of this book. They have a leader that's leading them. He dies. They go right back to the old self, right back to the flesh, right? And this ends chapter 7 and 8. Let's go ahead. We'll close in prayer. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for speaking to us the importance of staying humble. Not being prideful, Lord, that you would so continue to keep us humble in our ways, and that you would make sure, Lord, that we never exalt ourselves, Lord, that we'll always give all the glory to you for everything that we do in your name, and everything we do here at this church is all in your name for your glory. We thank you, Lord, for speaking to us in this way. In Jesus' name, amen.